night, everybody. Have you ever had someone pocket dial you? If I wasn't in church, I'd call it butt dialing, but I'm in church, so I'm not supposed to say that. You ever had someone, I had an Outlooker pocket dial me a couple weeks ago and leave a 10-minute voicemail. And I didn't catch anything juicy or interesting in that 10-minute voicemail. Yes, I listened to the whole thing. And and we're talking about prayer in this series, and it got me thinking, I wonder if sometimes God feels like we pocket dial him. You know, we come to Jesus, we say yes to Jesus, we become a Christian, and part of what that means is we're promised in the Scriptures that that means that God's Spirit lives in us, and we have this access to God now, right? We've got his number, and he's got our number. We can talk to him anytime. So it's in a way, it's like the line is open. But God must sometimes just be sitting here like, are they going to say anything at all? Do they even know that they got me on the line, right? We're just walking around pocket dialing God. And we're going to look a little bit more at that this morning, this idea of praying and what we share with God and how we share it. We want to remind ourselves this morning that we can not only have that line open between us and God, but that he has good things to say and that we can say things to him too. That's actually possible on a day-to-day basis. That when we abide in Jesus, we share everything with him. When I abide with Jesus, I share everything with him. Now, before we turn to our main passage this morning, I just want to share with you the Message paraphrase of a really great scripture, Romans 12:1. I really appreciate the way Eugene Peterson puts his style on these words from the Apostle Paul. And so this is a paraphrase, this is not a translation, but I really like, I do believe Mr. Peterson captures the spirit of this verse in a new and fresh way for us. It says Romans 12:1 from the Message Bible, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. That's a great capturing of the spirit of what it means to be a Christian from day to day, and that is living our lives wide open before God, our everyday ordinary lives before God. What we're telling ourselves, reminding ourselves of in this series, is that our faith is meant to be, or our faith is a life meant to be lived with Jesus. Our faith is not just supposed to be the stuff we do for Jesus. And for so many of us, this ends up being the missing ingredient for us in the life of faith. We're attracted to Christianity. We've said yes to Jesus, but something in us hasn't quite clicked for us. And we believe now it's just time to do a bunch of stuff for Jesus. And I love to do things for Jesus. But before all that, I need to be with Jesus. I need to live with him, know that he's walking with me throughout my life. My friend Vince Antonucci writes it like this in one of his books. Rather than fleeing from the world, I dive into it. I've got all kinds of things to do, all kinds of people with whom I have to interact. Plus, I've got traffic to get through and some TV to watch, he says. But my goal is to do all of that with God. My goal is to do all of that with God. Those last words sum up why we're taking the time in this series to address this topic of prayer and an abiding relationship with Jesus. Because our goal is to do all that, share our whole lives with God. Man, life without God, that is killer. That is tough. To live life without God, I was reflecting on that. I mentioned it to Tamara sometime in the last week or two. Just having this flash of an idea of what it would be like to, and what it was like, a reminder, to go day to day without God's wisdom, without his word, without a chance to think about what, have my brain informed by the things that he has to say and his word, and to be around the love of his people and to know that you're loved by him, man, that is killer to live life without God. But what's almost just as much of a killer is to say yes to God and become a Christian and then keep living without him. Now, not that he's without us, but that we forget. We let days slide by. And we don't really live those days with him. That's killer too. In some ways, more so. So today we're going to hear Jesus call it like he sees it regarding this subject of prayer. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. If you grabbed one of these from the carts in the back, we're going to be on page 660. Or maybe you're going to open up your Bible app. We are in Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. Jesus is teaching, and in this moment, he's turning to the subject of prayer. First thing we read is this: "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Let's talk about what he means there. As I see that, as I reflect on what we're talking about this morning, God wants from you and from me honest prayers. Honest prayers. Not, as he puts it, don't be like the hypocrites. See, there's nothing that we can say that God can't handle. And so we ought to be our real selves. A hypocrite, we know what that is. That's someone who is not genuine. Someone whose outside doesn't match their inside, right? Someone who's not real. And Jesus is saying, oh, hypocrites pray. But how do they pray? They love themselves and they try to impress others. In other words, and you and I can fall into this in some subtle ways, we might end up praying what we think others want to hear if we're praying out loud, or what's more common, we even pray what we think God wants to hear, whether we mean it or not, or even know what we're saying sometimes or not. In other words, we get hung up on if we're doing it right. I like what C.S. Lewis said when he once said, "Pray what is in you, not what ought to be in you." Sometimes we think we're not bringing our authentic selves to God. We think we need to bring our very best polished selves to God. We have this idea of what ought to be in me, and so we try to muster that up and scrape it together, and then we give that version of ourselves to God, and he's like, "Are you kidding me? You think I don't see through this? You don't think I don't know you? Pray what is in you, not what ought to be in you." Don't be hypocritical about it, just be honest. There's nothing God can't handle. What does an honest prayer sound like? You've probably prayed them. Prayers like, "God, can you even hear me? Does this make any difference? God, I'm angry." Or, "Lord, I'm tempted, really tempted here. God, I don't understand." Or, "God, I doubt today that you're even real." Those are real prayers, right? Those are honest prayers. Those are prayers not to impress, but to express, right? And that's what Jesus is saying here. There are people who pray to impress, love to see, "Hey, watch me, I'm praying," he says. They stand on the street corner or make sure they stand up in church or the synagogue in that case, right? Say, "Watch me pray. Look how righteous I am. Check out how all together I have it." And we see there, here and elsewhere in the Scriptures, God sees right past that. Try not to impress, but instead, let's express what is going on in us. That's what God wants to hear, our true and genuine, honest selves. He goes on and keeps reinforcing this point. Verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Not only does God want honest prayers, but we can take that one step further. We might as well pray transparent prayers, because there's nothing God can't see. There's nothing God can't see. Here, in these words of Jesus, we're moving from the merely seen, "Watch me stand on the street corner or stand up in church," to the unseen. Not only unseen as in I don't need to do this in front of other people, but unseen as to what's going on in us, the internal as well. That we share everything in honesty and in transparency, even the brutality of living. Even the brutality, the tough stuff. The stuff that isn't clean and neat and tidy. The stuff that's not easily defined or the things that we wouldn't even want other people to know, we have to go ahead and accept. God sees. Does His love for us go down with what He sees? Does it diminish? Is it on some kind of setting that whatever He sees will determine how much He loves us? I'm here to tell you, in case you didn't know, that that's not the case at all. That we can show Him anything because He already sees everything, and He loves us completely anyway. So we might as well be people before God with nothing held back and everything wide open. Not religious. See, religion wants to put on a front, right? Religion says, watch me straighten my tie and tighten my laces and get everything right, and then I'll go before God. I remember years ago a guy saying to me that he wanted to get baptized. It was way back when we were still in our at our other campus. And he wanted to get baptized. He said, but I need to get on top of my cocaine habit first. And I said, well, you got it all wrong, bro. Right? That habit's got you licked, and you need some extra power. Left to yourself, it's not working, right? And left to myself, it wasn't working for me either. And then left to ourselves, it doesn't work. We have to come to Him as we are so we can then become with Him all that we can be. And that's so important. And yet in our own, and we can believe that for someone else, but it's hard sometimes to believe it for ourselves. Not religious, but instead all revealed. Just standing before God. Nothing hidden. It is incredibly freeing to be completely loved. We won't always find that in human beings, but we will always find it in our Heavenly Father. It is incredibly freeing to know that I can't say or do anything that will make God love me any less completely, just as I am. If you're anything like me, sometimes you feel kind of inadequate regarding prayer. So much of what we might read on the subject will be inspiring to us, but it can also make us feel like we're just not doing it right. Maybe you felt that way. Or often enough, right? Or with the right posture. Or according to the right formula. Or at the right time of day. Which, of course, for the spiritual giants, is that for at least an hour, from 4 to 5 in the morning, probably always on your knees on a hardwood floor, you know, and all that good stuff. And you think, I'll never be that. I'm not sure I can do that. And you think to yourself that you're a failure. I like what Richard Foster says when he says, we should never make prayer too complicated. Jesus taught us to come like children to a Father. Openness, honesty, and trust mark the communication of children with their Father. I like that. I feel it describes my prayer life. Open, honest, trust, uncomplicated. Prayer is nothing if it's not this, right? But I also recognize something in Foster's words that might be a hurdle for some of you. Maybe your relationship with your Father wasn't all that hot. So when you hear words like Foster's, you're like, well, that's kind of confusing or maybe even tough to hear. Open, honest, and trusting is not a description, perhaps, that you would think of with your Father. And if that's you, I'd always love to talk to you with you more about that sometime. But for now, while we're all here together and I just have a second, let me say that the Father that Jesus is talking about here is the best, most loving one that any of us can imagine. And He delights in you. He delights in you. And you can trust Him. Let me remind you of the very picture of transparency in this one little story in the book of Mark in something someone once said to Jesus. You can think of it as a prayer. If talking to God and talking to Christ is praying, then this guy was praying when he said in Mark 9, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. This honest, utterly transparent outburst comes from a man whose son was demon-possessed. He was asking Jesus to heal the boy, even while he was unsure if he could. Can we relate to that? You ever talk to Jesus about something and then you're not even sure that He can hear you at the same time? That we ask while we're unsure, or we approach even while we doubt, we believe even with a healthy dose of unbelief. That's human. That's our humanness. That's human reality. And these are the words that burst out of this Father's mouth. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. That is an honest, transparent prayer. And Jesus could handle it. He could handle it then, and he can handle it now. Remember, as we discussed a couple of Sundays ago, exercising even what might seem like a little faith is a powerful thing. And turning to God in our everyday, sharing with him even our doubts and our daily weaknesses, is a tremendous act of faith. Simply sitting with him, as we talked about last week, walking through our day, acknowledging his care, his nearness, is a tremendous act of faith. As the author of Hebrews puts it, simply believing that God exists and seeking him at all puts us among those with faith. I want to take a second and highlight something Jesus says here. He says, go into your room. Go into your room. Now, we might hear that and think, oh yeah, I got a room. Or when I was a kid, I had a room. Go clean your room, right? Go to your room. Jesus is telling us, he's not telling us to go to our room the way our parents might have when we were in trouble, right? He's saying, go into your room. And that word for room, some translations aptly translate it closet, inner room, secret chamber. So an inner space. He's talking about the most inner space that you can find in your house or in a structure. There was this lady named Teresa. She was a follower of Jesus centuries ago. She wrote a book called Interior Castle. And she talks about how if our souls were like a castle, you know, the deeper we go in, the more rooms that we go into and open them up, open those doors up to God, then the healthier our spiritual life becomes. It's a kind of a neat analogy. I was even thinking of the house I lived in before the house that we live in now had, if you thought of it like this, you could go through the garage door, and then you could go through the door from the garage, then you could go up the stairs into the master bedroom door, and you could shut that behind you, and then you could go into the, it had double doors into the master bath, and you could shut those doors, and then it even had a little water closet where, you know, the toilet is, right? That's what you call those. And it had its own door. So like you could go into the house, you could have five closed doors behind you. And I was just thinking about how to illustrate this idea of go into your inner chamber, Jesus says. Go close as many, you know, leave as many doors closed behind you as possible. Go in and then go in some more and then turn and go farther into yourself. Go into your inner room, he says, both literally in terms of away from the street and where everyone can see. And I like to think of it as also in our own soul. Go inside, go deep. And look at what God wants to show you and reveal to you and meet him there. Jesus is moving us into this unseen where we don't need to be seen by anyone but God, and we will deal with the unseen. We'll pray, as he puts it, secret prayers, so to speak. And we will receive seen rewards. In fact, there's a word really in the Greek that doesn't show up in this translation there at the end. It says that he sees what is done in secret and will reward you openly, will reward you with things you can see, peace and things you can experience. He will reward you in ways you can't deny. You'll see it. This time before God, this relationship we cultivate with God, he says, you'll see the benefits. Let's go on in verse 7 and wrap up what Jesus is teaching us this morning. It says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, anyone who knows me personally knows that while I can certainly do it, I don't really enjoy small talk. Anyone with me on that where you're just like, you know, it's not like I can't do it, but it's not that enjoyable for me. And I wonder sometimes if my prayer life might seem like this to God. A lot of small talk. Never really go very deep. Keep it shallow. And God must sometimes wonder, can we just get past this? What happens in our own human relationships? Think of it like this. When we remain at that shallow level of small talk. Casual friends. We all have casual friends. And we all know of people in which it stays at that level. And perhaps that's exactly fitting for those relationships, weather, movies, home improvement, whatever's going on at the time. But you know that the relationship isn't going to go any farther. That's just the nature of that relationship. But we got to go deep if we want a relationship to progress. Talk about our suppressed hurts or our hidden envies or our doubt or our anger or more serious concerns. And with no one should I feel more ready to go deep than with God. And no relationship is it more, with no relationship in our lives, is it more important that it goes somewhere than our relationship with God, right? We don't want to keep it just shallow. God is looking not only for honest and transparent prayers, but let's pray some deep prayers. Let's pray some prayers that come from the gut, right? Things we feel deeply. Because there's nothing, Jesus says here, that our Father doesn't care about. There's nothing He can't handle. There's nothing He can't see. There's nothing He doesn't care about. Jesus says, you don't need to babble on and on, He says. That's small talk. That's just whatever. Or in other ways, it could be prayer as incantation, right? Did I get my words just right? Did I say all the right words? It's almost like a spell. Some people have this idea that prayer is a magical spell, that if I'll just say it right, I can move the hand of God and all these things will happen in my life, some secret recipe or special password. But Jesus says it's not about how many words or what kind of words, and in fact, sometimes it's no words at all. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote in Romans when he says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for." Ever been there? "But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." This idea that sometimes in our hurt or our pain or our confusion, that sometimes we just go before God and groan. Can't spell that, right? There's no word for that. We just groan. God's Spirit joins with our spirit in us and just groans before God, weeps before God, sighs before God. And it says, "He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." It's not about right words. It's about open hearts. Philip Yancey writes in his book called Prayer, "In truth, what I think and feel as I pray, rather than the words I speak, may be the real prayer. For God hears," quote unquote, "that too." And He does. So what we're seeing this morning is that we need to bring our authentic self to God. In fact, I've found, and I bet you have too, that it's only through time with God that I begin to know and understand my authentic self, my real self. Because He shows that to us as we get to know. As we get to know Him, we will end up getting to know ourselves better. We go deeper and then we see more, reveal more, surrender more, and grow more. In fact, it's a dangerous thing for us, and we've all done it and can be guilty of doing it again. We can tend to close off access to certain parts of ourselves or our lives, right? We close doors of certain rooms in our interior house, so to speak. And we think, that's where I've got certain stuff stored that I don't want anyone to see. And I certainly want to pretend that I can hide it from God. And it's a dangerous thing because we end up living, that can't go on without its effect. We'll end up living divided lives, compartmentalized lives, being double-minded, as James says, in all our ways. And we will wonder why our faith is weak. It would be like working out only one arm, right? And then wondering why my whole body isn't getting stronger. Spiritually speaking, I need to be able to surrender all that I am to God, even the parts I haven't figured out yet, and give them to Him and say, "Show me, Lord. Open every room wide open in my heart and life." Because we need the strength of God in our whole lives. Amen? Not just parts of our lives, not just our church-going life. Or then something goes south in our marriage, and so now we need the power of God just in our married life. Or finances are tough, so we begin to pray and ask God to help us in our financial life. No. We need God's strength throughout our whole life, and it all fits together. God is looking for, and we need to pray consistent prayers, not convincing prayers. We don't need to convince Him, only to continue to lay our lives before Him. Back to the dad analogy for just a second. When you think about what it was like when you were little, or when you think about what it's like if your kids are or when they were little, they would say, "Look, Daddy, look, Mommy," right? all the time. Watch me do this. Let me show you that. Or I got this new toy, and they want to show it to you and show all their stuff, bring their stuff out, or show you their latest trick or skill. Look, Daddy. Look, Mommy. We delighted to show our parents everything about our lives. We were trusting and open. It's that same childlike faith that God still, I think, longs for and looks for in all of us, and that we know, whether we at first realize it or not, that we need. How refreshing to just live a life completely loved and totally open to our Father. That's really what we're saying all along so far in the Sundays ahead in this series. Invite God into the everyday moments of your life. He wants honest prayers. There's nothing He can't handle. We might as well say transparent prayers, because there's nothing He can't see. And we need to pray deep prayers, because there's nothing He doesn't care about. We can bring even the smallest thing to God, and He's aware and attentive and caring. Our Father knows what we need before we even ask, Jesus says. I want to wrap up with this thought from Jesus. It's something He says as He's preparing His disciples for His departure. And it's my prayer for all of us. I love the way He puts it. He says to them, and now by extension to you and me today, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And that's the abiding that we're aiming for and we're unpacking in these Sundays. A realization. I pray that's true for you today, that today is the day that you realize or realize once again that Jesus is in you, and you can live in Him, with Him. Not just do stuff for Him, but live with Him and stay near Him. Amen.